Because this podcast is being released free of charge, I'll be asking each guest to choose an organization or fund they feel passionate about and encourage anyone who is able to donate. Today's guest chose Water First. Water First Education and Training Inc. helps address water challenges in Indigenous communities in Canada through education, training, and meaningful collaboration. They believe that the water crisis in Indigenous communities is intolerable. Education and skills training are essential in creating solutions that work for communities. Their programs are focused on building strong partnerships and creating lasting results in collaboration with Indigenous communities. You can donate and read more about them at waterfirst.ngo, and I'll be putting the link in the episode description. Welcome to Enthusiastic, the podcast where me, Chloe Huberto, has a pal on to chat about something they feel very enthusiastic about and have just been dying to dig into. No holds barred, you are allowed to just spill all your hyperfixations on me. Let's get into it. Today's guest, I also knew in high school, but instead of them being a fellow student, this person taught me. I'll let them introduce themselves. Go for it.
Hi. I am Lindsay Mullen. Hello.
Hello.
I'm an actress and an improviser and creator, sometimes writer, director. And hi, thank you so much for having me on the show, Chloe. This is exciting.
It's very exciting. Thank you for coming on. Lindsay had a very successful podcast.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Legitimized.
Yeah, it was called Truths Be Told, and I had it for 2 years, and won a couple Canadian podcasting awards. It's a storytelling podcast. I got guests on. They told true stories from their life. It was kind of like This American Life, but I'm nothing like Ira Glass. So, yeah, it was quirky and fun and sometimes dramatic, and yeah, Truths Be Told. It's no longer going, but I still have lots of people listening to it, so that's nice. You can look it up on Apple Podcasts or something.
Yeah, dig into that back catalog. Yeah. For anyone in Canada listening, I think my favorite thing you've done, Lindsay, is the Shoppers Drug Mart ad where you're sitting on a flamingo in a pool talking about shaving your legs.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. See, I've done a lot of commercials, but that's the only one that if I'm in an Uber and the Uber driver asks me what I do for a living to make small talk, and I tell them I'm an actor, they say, have I seen you in anything? And I say, no, just to be safe. But yep. Then that commercial came out, and I went, do you know the lady in a red bathing suit on an inflatable swan in a pool? And then they go, yeah. And then that was also the end of the conversation. But that commercial, I feel like it was seen by people for the time that it was on. And I really relished that.
It feels like an honor to do a Shoppers Drug Mart commercial. Maybe this is just because I'm not living in Canada now, so I feel weirdly sentimental about
it. Oh, but I love Shoppers Drug Mart. Shoppers Drug Mart is the kind of place where if I'm bored and I have to wait for a friend.
Makeup aisle.
Yeah, like I just go, there's a Shoppers across the street. I think I'll just walk around Shoppers for half an hour.
It's always like engaging and exciting to me, no matter what. Like there's always going to be something.
Yeah, you just want to buy face masks or some makeup or get a bunch of chocolate bars. Like, yeah, it's there's something very comforting about a drugstore.
Very, yeah. I love a good drugstore.
Yeah. Are there some good ones over there, right? You're in Scotland. You guys have
there's Boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boots is pretty good. And then there's like, I want to say Super Drug. You know what's interesting is in Boots, mm-hmm. there's a line
does not make it, but there's a line called My Viv in Boots, which stands for My Very Important Vagina, and it's like dilators and vibrators and stuff.
No, it's called My Very Important Vagina? Really?
Yes. My Viv.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Like, that is just in a drugstore?
I mean, yeah, it's very progressive for such a mainstream shop. I love that. But what is it again? My Very Impressive Vagina?
My Very Important Vagina.
My Very Important Vagina?
Yeah. Like, oh, VIP. Wow.
No, listen, I love the sentiment behind that, but also...
It's a heck of a name. Funny.
That's really weird.
Brand names here are so consistently quirky. Like...
Oh my gosh.
Just yesterday in Tesco, I was looking at Daddy's Favorite Brown Sauce.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a little too sexy.
It's a little... Like, it could have been any sauce. They had to choose brown.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a sexy name. Daddy's Favorite Brown Sauce. Well, it sounds like you're having a good time in Scotland. They know how to happen when they name things.
So, Lindsay, what topic did you choose to discuss today?
I am hesitant to be enthralled with the following subject. I've recently, in quarantine, gotten on a astrology, zodiac type of kick. And I'm not proud of it because astrology or tarot cards, these kind of things, I enjoy them, but I don't like the other people that enjoy them. Like, if I go on YouTube and watch tarot card readings, I look at these people and I'm go, these guys are dummies. And I'm very judgmental. And I'm like, oh, this is so spiritual and flaky. And I mock it the whole way. And yet a part of me is letting some of this belief, some of these guiding principles are guiding me, even though I'm embarrassed of them. And I recently bought a giant book. And it's a book that describes your personality based on the exact day of the year you are born. And it's a giant book. It's called The Secret Language of Birthdays. And I bought that. And then I bought the other book written by the same author, which is a book all about relationships based on what week of year you're born and which other people you're compatible with based on the week of the year they are born. And I've started applying it to my dating life through dating apps. Yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. I'm taking a lot of information that is not scientifically backed, and I'm making major life decisions with it. And it's been an experiment.
Do you feel like it's fully like backing your decisions, or it's just informing your decisions?
That is a great question. I think it is informing my decisions, but maybe weighing a little too heavily on my mind.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting in there. I watch tarot card videos a lot. I have a tarot card reader that I go to every couple months.
Are they good? Do you feel like they're good? Do you respect them?
I have a pretty good success rate of predicting things that happen. Even hyper-specific things, they've been right. And I can't ignore that. Even if they have like a 60 to 70% success rating.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made some mistakes. But even if you knew someone who could predict something at a 60% accuracy rating, wouldn't that be enough if they were your friend, for example, for you to keep inquiring?
Yeah. So I have a particular perspective on this.
I'd love to hear it.
So my mom is into all of this stuff. That sounds very contemptuous almost, this stuff, but that's not how I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a thing. She only got like started to get like more into it 15 years ago or maybe less.
Yeah.
But it's always been a thing for her growing up. Like it was, yeah, just like a connection to the spirit, that sort of spiritual realm. Like she would talk about like the couple times she went to see somebody. So that's, it's kind of been a thing I've grown up with that. Yeah. So I never grew up with this derision that it's not scientifically based.
Right.
But then as I got older, I started to be more critical. And so I really like try to use a critical eye and like literally everything else in life. I think it's good to like utilize all your senses and yeah, make a decision for yourself, but listen to like various different sources of information. Maybe the most important one being just some sense you have within yourself. Although that's like something that I think I got from my mom is that, cause also I was actually talking to somebody about this yesterday cause they were like, oh, does your mom read tarot cards and stuff? And I was like, she can, but she's never been into the paraphernalia of anything specifically. It's always just been like about being there with a person and just your intuition. Like, and I feel quite the same. Like I feel like when I get really into like the objects of that stuff, it activates my OCD and anxiety a lot.
Here's the thing I will say is like, I think it's interesting that you come from that perspective where it was talked about when you were a kid and it wasn't this thing for people to mock. It was like, no, I am interested in this alternative spirituality. I think I grew up in a kind of atheist household with zero sense of spirituality being encouraged by my parents. I thought that was great for a long time. But then I reached adulthood and I found that I was lacking a spiritual connection. I was... I had no sense of religion or something to believe in. And it made me realize, I think people need that. People do need something to calm them when they feel alone in the world or they want to be connected to something greater than themselves. And so I think a lot of what I'm doing right now, as much as I make fun of it, I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm getting more and more involved in the spiritual stuff at a time when the world is scary and isolated. I think I'm reaching out and looking for something to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think different people need it to different degrees and in different ways. Because that's the thing is like, if you, like maybe like for your parents, like that's where they've found, like that could be what they found peace with. And like, that's what works for them.
Well, but I think that religion was thrust upon them as children, you know? And it's like, ugh, get it off me. Let me make my own choices. I find this oppressive. We won't do that to our child. But then there is an absence of something. And
I think the pendulum is just swinging like different ways constantly with each generation.
Exactly. And so, and I'm not taking a dig at my parents. I get it. And also a lot of this is I want to find love. I'm 31. I've been in love 3 times. And I would like to find my husband. And a part of me is afraid of getting my heart broken again. And so I think I'm trying to do like a little cheat sheet. I'm like, well, if it says that I'm compatible with Leos, because I'm a Libra, then I'm just not going to go out with anyone who isn't a Leo. Like, I'm doing these little cheat sheets because I don't want my heart to break again. I'm afraid to take the risk. I think that's what's happening.
This might be a personal question, but do you want a family?
I do. I'm not in a hurry for that. Like, I would be very happy to have a kid or two in my early 40s.
Yeah. So is the goal
right now in that?
So the goal, what you're looking for is just like, you really want that romantic companionship.
Yeah. I feel like I've always worked better as part of a team, a duo. And, I love being in love and I love having someone who's like your partner in crime. They're your best friend and also your lover. And I would love to share my life with someone. And I went through a really difficult, painful breakup a couple years ago. And I think it left some lasting scars and has really made it hard for me to trust. So I do think some of this is defensive, even me liking this tarot stuff or this astrology stuff, is I'm afraid to jump in again. So I'm trying to calculate the perfect formula to find someone.
So one of my goals with this podcast is to develop my skills listening to a person and not just jumping in with my side of it. So I'm very conscious of that right now. But it's interesting because I have the experience of craving or really wanting romantic relationships, or even like having that be like a sort of a staple of your life, like a thing that is that you used to, is so out of my realm of knowledge of like, yeah, just like my realm of being.
Oh, do you not date very much?
Yeah. So I've, here we go, podcast. I've never been in a relationship. I've never had a kiss in a romantic context.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. When you were talking, and I'm also very interested, kind of as a function of this, I'm really interested in these, in like conversations about like where people come at romance and sex from, like where they're coming at and how it's so wildly different for people, and also my own judgment of people. Because like part of it is, yeah, there's sure been like tons of situations where I could have engaged in, or started something, but I knew ultimately it wasn't like right. But maybe that's also like, there's also this thing with, it's just maybe part of like the spiritual thing that I wrestle with in my mind, is like this idea of like things are just going to happen the way they're meant to happen, because then it's like it's I'm constantly having questions about free will and like all of that. But like I throughout my life I find myself, and I still do, less so now, but like judging other people for being in situations that I can see are just not the jam. And it's like, well, they have a different life. Like what's meant for them is meant for them for whatever reasons.
But especially about people in couples, and then you think, oh, they're a toxic match, I would never do that, judge. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And but even like it's because I'm talking to you. Also, you taught us improv, not as like from Loose Moose. Lindsay's from Loose Moose in high school, just so everybody knows.
The theater company. Improv, yeah. Theater company. And I used to teach you improvisational theater.
Yeah. But maybe because I'm talking to you, I'm going back to high school, or maybe that's just because like where my brain goes with this. But especially when I was in high school and even junior high, when people I knew were in couples and they were treating that couple as if they would be together forever, I'm like, there's no way they don't know what the situation, like there's no, like everybody goes through this. There's no way they legitimately think, like if somebody does stay together, sure. But if somebody is like just not being critical about it, I'd be like, this is insane. And one time I think I was backstage during a play or something, and a bunch of people were talking about like their boyfriends or something. And I totally was definitely also like projecting my own shit. And like, it was not related to the conversation, but I was like, but it's like, you're in high school, it's inevitably going to end. And everybody like definitely looked at me and gave me the eye. Like I can see definitely in their heads. They were like, what the fuck, Chloe?
Chloe, do you feel as though maybe you're not open to this because you're very scared to let someone in such a vulnerable, intimate way?
Yeah.
You seem like a nihilist about relationships, which let me tell you, at this point in my life, I get it.
I don't think I'm a nihilist. I think in that situation I was just talking about, that's definitely how it's coming off. But I don't actually think I am, but I 100% am. I'm very like, I don't want to go into things that I know are going to be wrong. And I understand that being in romantic situations that maybe weren't the best is a part of learning, but also like do I really have time for that? Because, like, it's not a, it's not a priority in my life.
How old are you?
I am 25.
Okay. Like you just said, you kind of glazed over it, but it was a very good point. Yes, maybe I should be in relationships that are there to teach me stuff and they're not supposed to be forever. Absolutely. I mean, you're 25. You should have time for this. It's your spiritual expansion, you know, even if it doesn't work out. I mean, don't you want to feel that deep loving feeling?
I think right now, here's another thing. Right now, I mean, it also changes every day, but what I come to, especially right now, is like I'm so focused on like, I want to say my career, but it's not just about money. It's like about your what you want to be doing in the direction of your life. It's not, I also kind of don't care, but at the same time, I do crave it. And then I always come back to, and this has kind of been a thing for quite a while, I always come back to, but no, I don't really care. And I haven't, I've also just never been in a situation where I really like somebody and they liked me back.
Hmm.
And usually, recently, the people that I'm like, I would date that person, no questions asked, they're already in a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. But I will say part of it is like, also like fear because like we're really getting into it now, but I also don't want to be my mom. And I don't think I will be, but I do think in some ways maybe.
What happened to your mom?
So my mom was really depressed when she was 20. Her father had sort of devolved into alcoholism and she'd stopped talking to him. And she was in this deep, deep depression. And she had never had like an actual relationship before. Like she'd had like little high school things, but like nothing serious. And during that time, she met my father. She said she does think she was vulnerable during that time. And so then she ended up being with somebody that was, I mean, I'm glad I exist, but was just not, and was not nourishing for her at all. So like, it's almost like I didn't grow up seeing, they got divorced when I was 15, but it was also after, like they should have gotten, like my mom should have gotten divorced in 2003. Which I would have been 8.
Your template for love is not
super. There is none. They weren't in a relationship. They were married, but there was.
Right.
But this is the thing, is I also know lots of people who go have relationships, also grew up with similar. But like, I never saw a template, but also I think, she's probably going to listen to this, but I also think my mom has never been in a genuine, loving, good relationship either.
Right.
So it's like.
But I do think it being a template is the reason, because we pick partners based on our relationships with our parents and based on how our parents' relationship goes. And yes, you're right. People overcome that or whatever. But I absolutely see huge parallels in my family relationship and my parents' relationship to each other. In my romantic relationships as an adult, it's undeniable. And so I've met people who have a similar perspective to you, who they had a bad model or an undesirable model for relationships or marriage when they were young. And it made them go, well, I'm never going to fall victim to that.
And yeah. I think you can either, like for me, that idea of like, finding of like how some people can find relationships that are the same as those toxic or dysfunctional systems, that is terrifying. So for me, it's like, well, I'm gonna do everything in my power to make sure that won't happen. And I feel like, I mean, I'm a very different person from my mom, and I feel like it won't happen. I know that, but it is
how conscious you are. That all you're already like 5 steps ahead of the game. You'll get out there and you'll know that there's shit you won't put up with, and you also know what it's like to be on your own for a while, so you know you can do it. I didn't know I could be on my own. This is the last 2 years has been me kind of realizing that I could exist on my own 2 feet, and I mean I'm pretty late in the game to be figuring that out now. So yeah. Challenge yourself. Get out there. Have some romance.
So do you Do you feel like you're being selective in the sources that you're getting these like tarot and astrology stuff from?
Oh, probably not being selective enough if I'm going through YouTube. Yeah, it's just like some chick in the kitchen of her suburban home telling me, you know, that Mercury's in retrograde and that's why my ex is going to come back. I don't think I should be trusting that shit. I don't know if I'm getting the top advice, but I got to tell you, this book, this Secret Language of Birthdays book, has been fascinating. At worst, it's a fun coffee table book to show your friends when they visit and everyone wants to read about their birthday and see if it's true. And at best, it's spookily accurate. My yeah. birthday is so incredibly accurate. And in the margins, it has your three strengths in your personality and your yes. three weaknesses. And that yes. is fascinating. I feel like I've been called out by the book.
Do you want to read some parts from your birthday?
I do. And I'd probably like okay. to look up your strengths and weaknesses as well.
Yeah.
What's your birthday?
February 8th.
Okay. You're an Aquarius.
An sure Aquarius am.
3. And your strengths are you're conceptual, intuitive, and technical. I would agree. You came up with the concept of this podcast. You are admitting in the podcast that you are intuitive and value intuition. And you are technical. You literally set up a podcast recording thing from Scotland to Canada using your technical abilities.
It's probably as far as it goes, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Weaknesses. Here we go. You're codependent. You're emotionally confused. And you're yeah. passive.
So I remember these. I don't.
I think you might be emotionally I think you might be codependent, and that
I have a lot of
you're
emotions.
Avoiding getting in a relationship is because you know that as soon as you do, you will fall down that rabbit hole with that person.
I'm very frightened of that. That word is so scary to me. So scary. But I think it is true in the sense of like being on my own now. I'm a lot better, but I definitely, for a long time, I think I was codependent with my mom, where I would immediately, like, bleh, all my anxiety, all my feelings on her. And I also generally, when I'm dealing with something,
yeah,
my instinct is to tell somebody else about it, just so it's not running around my brain like a squirrel.
Can I tell you, I have real codependency issues, big time. And I used to feel really guilty about it, kind of the way you're talking right now, where you go, oh, I shouldn't need to do that. I should be able to self-soothe. I should be fine. And then I went to one of the many therapists I've been to. And a lot of therapists, you know, they're like, you should become independent and self-soothe and love yourself and yada, 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 all that bullshit. But one therapist said, did you ever think that maybe your codependence, your needy tendencies, so to speak, isn't actually a problem? Like maybe it's not indicative of you being broken. Maybe you're just, that's one of your needs. That's what you're like. And it's only considered codependence or toxic if you're with somebody who doesn't want to take care of you sometimes or doesn't want to be that close or spend that amount of hours together. If you find someone else who the way they're made, their kind of kink is that they like to, you know, soothe and take care of someone or spend lots of hours together, then actually you're incredibly compatible with them. And that actually relieved so much weight off my shoulders, just thinking that maybe, yeah, I guess I do have some codependent tendencies and I should work on being independent, but just telling myself I should be different and it's wrong that I have these urges to constantly reach out to people is just a way of shaming yourself for feelings you can't actually control.
Yeah.
Maybe it's okay to be like that.
It's that thing where someone's like, oh, if something's not an addiction, usually it's like a cliche, unless it's like really, unless it's causing a problem. Like, you can like chocolate, but if you're, if your life is falling apart,
because yeah, if you're stuck in dick to get more chocolate, then you're in dire straits at that point.
Although, like, for some people, that might be just like a double bonus.
I mean, sure,
dick and chocolate,
right? People that are like, you know what, performing a blow job on another person and getting chocolate is a win-win for me. Then you're right. That isn't hitting the skids. That's a great situation. But yeah, you're right. It's only if it's ruining your life, if it's getting in the way of your happiness.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely had to learn to be more independent over the years, and it's really hard because I'd rather just call someone and have them make me feel better every time something goes bad.
So weird. Because I'm also such like an independent person in a lot of ways, and I love being with myself. So, like, the idea of, like, being codependent is, I don't know how to, like, reconcile, like, the definition. I mean, also, it's a book.
Mm.
It's just a book that says a thing.
Also a book based on, if a star is over there and a planet's over there, then I guess Chloe is good at setting up technical podcast equipment. Yeah.
Press the button like no other.
Do you want to hear mine?
Yes, go to yours.
So I'm October 4th. And I'm a Libra too. I share a birthday with Susan Sarandon and Buster Keaton. I love that. That's great. And
I see the Susan Sarandon.
Oh, really? Thank you. Yeah. I really see the Buster Keaton, personally. I think I'm a sad little clown. let's see. My strengths are I'm tasteful, socially adept, and humorous. I mean,
true.
Everyone wants to agree with their own strengths. Yes, I think I'm those things, hopefully. Weaknesses. I'm complacent, I'm headstrong, and I'm foolhardy. And it's like, ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know you that well, but...
Oh, yeah.
Sounds... I don't know what complacent...
I get complacent. I mean, if you could see how disgusting my bedroom looks like right now.
Oh, I have seen it when you were
oh my god yeah, I can get really messy and complacent.
Yeah. Lindsay had a bunch of Facebook stories about the state of her room, and it was shocking.
Yeah, I know.
Shock.
It's not good. I get really, I'm very all or nothing. I'll let things
get,
or I'll get on a cleaning binge and be perfectionistic. I'll be insane. So it doesn't make sense. Headstrong. Yes, I'm very stubborn when I get in arguments with people. I get in one way of thinking, and it's very hard to get me out of it. I really dig my heels in with my beliefs. And I'm foolhardy. I make impulsive, emotional, rash decisions, especially when I'm worked up. Also, this... description of me on this page, it goes more in depth in the book. It says that I like to sneakily be in control of things, like even in a polite way.
Like it specifically says sneakily be in control.
Like it says, like, I'll do it in a nice way. I'll secretly try and control everything. I'm like, of course. I even did that with you setting up the podcast. I'm like, giving you unsolicited advice. I'm like, yeah, I'm being controlling, and I have that element in myself. So it's pretty dead on for me. That so
it is.
You know, it's funny how when you see something that's accurate, even if you know there's no scientific basis for it to be accurate, you really do begin to think like it has to be right. It's been right before. I'm beginning to believe in it. I'm taking it seriously. I mean, if the book told me that on a certain date, I'd have to be very careful because at that date in history, I would potentially have a greater risk of dying by an accident or something, I would stay home. I absolutely would
err
on the side of believing the book, even though I know it's not rational.
When it comes to like astrology and like in general, like this kind of stuff, I think it's so dangerous to give solid statements like that. And that's usually, like, if I hear someone do that, that's how I know they're not for me. Because I think, so some, like, mediums or whatever will have, legally, because they have to, have a disclaimer that will say, like, this isn't for entertainment purposes. It should not be construed as fortune-telling.
Mm-hmm.
Or, which I think, yes, is a legal thing. But also, it is true, like, the way, this is a criticism people have of this kind of stuff, because they're always like, oh, well, like, it could be interpreted as anything. But that's kind of thing, is like, it's just something to be aware of, but right. not like, make, like, solid decisions of it. That's the thing when, like, people bring up a lot how, like, American presidents used to have astrologers come in.
Mm.
There was quite a long history of it, I think. I don't know. I know at least one. I'm like, well, that sounds dangerous. Or especially if you hear stories. I think the woman who wrote Mary Poppins, because I was looking her up after I watched Saving Mr. Banks, which I love Saving Mr. Banks. It's Disney propaganda. It's a great movie. There was a set of twins, and I think they were in, like, bad financial situation with their biological family. An astrologer told her to only adopt one of them. So she only adopted one of them and brought one of them out of this situation. And it ended up being, as you can imagine, I don't remember the specifics of it, but, like, not a great situation. So this idea of somebody telling you to do something and you're doing it, that's where I really get, it worries me. And because people are so, we're all so desperate for an answer.
Right.
If someone gives us that answer, like, if anybody gives you that answer, people will take it sometimes.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
Huh.
You have to be really selective, I think, which comes with maybe, like anything, the more you do it, you'll be like, oh, I like this, I don't like that. Like, I personally hate, it's so common in, like, the, like, new agey words, like the divine feminine and the divine masculine, twin flame.
The twin flame thing I have to stay away from, because if I start reading that too much, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know what it means, but I think, like, it's, yeah, but the feminine masculine energy thing just, like, seems wild to say, because I think, I don't know, I was talking about this with my mom the other day, so she's like, well, what words do you think they should use? I'm like, I think they just mean, like, a soft energy and, like, a more angular energy, I don't know.
Right. But I've noticed even when they bring up the feminine and masculine energy, they don't assign it to a gender. They just kind of, like, I think they think that those energies can live in everybody.
Yeah, but the words themselves are still so gendered. It just immediately, like, gets my back up.
Right.
I mean, also because I've seen over the years, I've seen, like, so many people and, like, stuff that I don't like and stuff that I do like and situations where it becomes culty really quickly. And also, like, something in the last few years, I think I've become really especially, like, sensitive to how, so I worked at a health food store, and a lot of the people who came in, sometimes they would say things I didn't really understand, but after, like, a few years after I stopped working there, realizing how many of these people are, because I just walk around, you talk to people, you're just like, yeah, that's a reasonable person. How many of these people are into hardcore conspiracy theories, and especially now QAnon, but before, I guess it was sort of the things that were circling around what would become QAnon. And it's really wild.
Yeah, misinformation and lies and theories and conspiracy theories are now getting so much validity that they do not deserve. And certain communities seem to embrace it more than others. It's scary. Time to be around.
How widespread it is has really shocked me.
Oh, yeah. All our algorithms in our different social media accounts are only showing us our echo chambers. So we're shocked when elections go a different way, like in 2016, or we are shocked to find out that other people could believe something so different from us. But we're all in these little bubbles, and it's really problematic. And yeah, it's really too bad.
Yeah. So you were saying you're using on the apps, you're using this information.
Yes.
Well, has anything come out of that? I mean, it is COVID, so
here's
maybe not.
Probably the weirdest thing I've done in quarantine. I'm gonna get really vulnerable here. I have a little journal called My Sex Life. I've had it for years.
That's
I like
amazing.
Making lists when I'm bored. You know, sometimes I'll write my favorite movies or things I want to buy if I ever become rich. I make lists sometimes when I'm bored. And so I made a list of every romantic partner I've ever had. I made this list a few years ago. And on the list, I put like what year it happened. I put it in chronological order. I put their name there. I wrote how far we went in our interaction. Everything from, you know, an awkward date that went nowhere to, you know, full on intercourse to love. We were in love for a few years. And so I have a list. And here's the thing. When you take down data, the moment you get a large enough sample size, the data begins to show trends. That's a very scientific way of calling myself a whore. so I have accumulated a great deal of data. And in quarantine, I added a new column to the list that was not there before. Mm. I started writing down by using Facebook, because Facebook tells you when people's birthday it is, if they have it listed, and most people do, apparently. I was able to look up the astrological sign of all these people I'd had things with. And I had everything. I had like one night stands written in there. I had like people I did not like.
Like you were able to find all these people's birthdays?
Most of them. There were a lot that aren't listed or people I'm just not in contact with anymore. But many of them I was able to look up their birthday just looking at their Facebook profile. And because everybody wants someone to wish them a birthday on Facebook. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they think Facebook is immoral and if they don't like Mark Zuckerberg, they're all like, I want to be told happy birthday 100 times on my birthday.
I always post a picture of somebody, a pair of feet. One of the feet is in the shoe and the other one is stepping into a pair of shoes that look like pieces of cake. I actually originally found the picture, I think, to say happy birthday to Andrew Fung like 8 years ago.
Okay.
Because I love shoes. But now it's like my go-to. Like if you get the cake birthday photo, you're blessed.
Wow.
It's a blessing.
This is the weirdest thing you could have said. Okay. So I looked up everyone's birthdays and I started writing down their zodiac signs on my little chart. And what I discovered is that it's shocking. There are trends in who I date.
This is fascinating.
Yeah, this is where it really got fascinating for me and got a little scary. I'll be completely honest how I discovered this. I didn't just one day wake up and say I should look up everyone's zodiac signs. I had downloaded a dating app called Bumble and I had looked up online and said, what's the best match for a Libra? Because they actually have a function where you can have it just show you certain astrological signs. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. I'll look up Leo because Leo's in Geminis and Aquarius or whatever. You're supposed to be good for those. So I just made it so the app only showed me those particular signs. And like the first few signs or the first few matches sent my way to be like, do you like this person or not? Like three of the first five were guys I'd already hooked up with.
Oh, no.
It just tells you you've been with too many men when like, you get on a dating app and say, I only want to see Leos and Geminis. And then all of a sudden, the first five people, you know three of them, and you've already slept with them.
Did you meet them through the app, though?
No, they were people from my life. Like,
I mean, people, I've heard that a lot, though. Like, I like that, like, the pools just become pretty recursive. Like, it's just, like, people they know a lot.
Sure, but that's, come on. Like, that was a moment where I felt, well, maybe I should slow down on how many people I hook up with. And also, wait a second, those guys were all Leos? Those guys were all Geminis? Like,
that's a little chilling.
I didn't know their birthdays, you know? And I was, like, shocked by this information. I had no idea. And then I pulled out my little book and I started going, okay, I'm going to write Leo by this guy's name. I'm going to write Gemini by this guy's name. And then I suddenly got really curious. So I started looking up, like, past boyfriends, what their birthday was. And, like, suddenly I just went down this rabbit hole. And what I discovered is that there are certain signs I keep going back to.
And it's Leo and Gemini?
And Taurus, a little bit. And what's weird is, in sections of my life, because remember, I made the list chronologically, so periods of my life, I just kept dating the same type of person over and over again. And then I'd have a shift, and then I'd go for another sign and date that over and over again. And even freakier is, I looked in the book, there's a week of the year that I keep dating. There's one week, which is
a week.
It kind of involves like two signs, kind of.
That's a special, I think you told me that when we talked last week, and I was like, well, that's, oh boy.
I've gone out with that week three times and recently, and all those relationships ended the same way in the exact description that was provided by the book.
What's the description?
That week. Oh, like, saying something along the lines of, like, this will be a very passionate connection. It often leads to marriage for people. And then it said, but the problem here, it talked a lot about boundaries and structure. And then it said that the other person, not me, but the other person may act selfish, and that my person may have a low self-esteem and not be able to assert the you know, authority they need to make it equal.
Yeah.
And I felt very called out. And yeah, it was just kind of fascinating. I mean, it could all mean nothing, but the amount of Leos I've been with, Chloe, it's astounding. It's weird. It's weird when you see a pattern like that. You begin to think, is there something to this? Why is it that they're all the same signs over and over again? And in friendships, I'll keep making friends with Aries. That'll happen a lot. And, but then there'll be signs that I almost know nobody of that sign, like in my friend group or otherwise. And
I'm which one?
Like Capricorns. I barely know any Capricorns. Or Sagittarius. I'm not friends with a bunch of Sagittarius. Like, it's very strange. Like, there's always someone, but I think it's interesting that we're, like, drawn to familiar things over and over again.
It's also wild. Like, the notion to me, when I actually think about it, it's like that thing of free will or whatever. Like, the notion that all these people just being born on the same day means something is just, like, bananas. Absolutely wild. It doesn't make sense, but then it's like, I was telling you about Chani Nicholas. I think you should look into Chani Nicholas. I think you would jive with her.
That.
So she's an astrologer. She's on a lot of podcasts because she's like, she lives in LA and like, I'll send you some things, but she has a book that I actually want to read. And I find all like actually reading or watching stuff about this usually to really activate my anxiety, but I really like her approach. To the point where I actually want to find this book. And yeah, something she does say is this system works. I don't know why it works, which I was saying before is like quite a, I appreciate that.
I like that answer better than, oh, it works because Mars is 5 degrees over here. I prefer someone saying, we don't know why this is happening, but it is happening.
Yeah. I found that when I was listening to it, I realized it's become so dispersed, I think is the right word, that I was like, I don't even know the origin of this system historically. And I was looking it up because I truly was like, we know a lot of the origins of like different things, new pseudo spiritual crazes or like new age things that people love to like grab onto. But astrology, it seems like it came from nowhere and everywhere at this point.
Yeah. And I'm reluctant to believe this in my saddest moments, but it's very much possible that it's all a bunch of bullshit and we have bias and we see something and we go, oh, I'm like that. Because, yeah, everyone gets mad sometimes, or everyone,
yeah,
you know, has moments where they're humorous or socially adept or emotionally repressed. Like, you can read into anything and see yourself there.
Yeah. But, like,
yeah,
if it's helpful. I mean, usually when I get into that place, I just go, both can be true. And then I make a sandwich or something.
See, that's healthy. What you just described is healthy.
Yeah. It is hard, though, because I do feel a need for that connection, but I feel like I'm still figuring out how it works best for me.
Right.
Because I think it is dangerous when you're in a really desperate place and you really like look to something. I always know, like, if I'm going through something, when someone's, if it's a medium or even like anybody, like someone's like doing a reading for me, I find like myself really wanting them.
Oh, yeah.
I do that thing where you think about a thing that you want them to talk about, and they usually don't talk about it because it's not actually what the issue is at hand. It's almost like you're self-indulgent, myopic, but it's not actually the actual issue. It's the issue that you'd rather focus on.
I only, almost exclusively, until I guess recently, went to my tarot card reader lady, who I see sometimes. I used to only go to her in a state of crisis. Because yeah. Here's the thing. You don't need to know the future when the present is going great. You yeah. don't want to know what's going to happen to you when I'm having fun right now. It's only when you're in complete agony that you're like, I need to find out if the person that just dumped me is coming back. Or, you know.
Yeah. And you don't want to ruin that good moment if they say something that is unexpected or something.
Yeah, and you don't have a need for it. You don't need to check in spiritually and find out what you have to do to change everything, because yeah. you're just enjoying your life.
But that's that thing where, like, therapy is really good when you're consistently going, when you're not in those crises, because you're in a place to dig into things maybe more. And also, like my mom goes to see her friend once every couple of months, no matter what. And it's like sort of just a balancing thing, which I think is maybe good and healthy for some people, if that's what works for you.
Right.
Yeah. So
true.
Okay. So does your, the book that you have that's specifically about relationships, does it have like lists of these are the best matches, these are the worst matches?
It does.
Can we look at that for each of us?
Sure. Hold on. Let me grab this book for you here. All right, so what's your birthday again?
February 8th.
February 8th, and what sign was that again?
Aquarius.
So, Aquarius 3. Those are people born February 8th to 15th, so that's you. And, I mean, your best relationships, it has a little column here of who the best relationships for you are in certain dynamics. The dynamics are love relationships, which is mostly a romantic section. Marriage, which I love that there's a difference. And there is
yeah,
a difference.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Friendship, family, and work. So there's a few different sections. And, I mean, you have a list of people. I wonder if I'm in any of your sections. So I'm going to look. I'm a Libra 2, right? Is that what I said?
Yeah. I don't understand the significance of the 1, 2, 3.
Oh, no. It's just the week.
Yeah.
It's just the week in the thing.
Okay.
Libra 2 is October 3rd to 10th. So that's me. I'm going to see if I show up in any of your sections.
Okay.
Hold on.
Maybe we're meant to be together, Lindsay.
Let's see what the, oh, guess what? We are in each other's section for friendship. We're considered a very good compatible match for friendship. Isn't that fun?
That is fun.
Yeah. Okay. So you're looking to fall in love, even though you have been denying yourself the experience. But I know deep down you want to fall in love and have a nice, sweet codependence.
I don't want a codependence.
Maybe you do.
No. I want a pleasant and fun friendship, but like romantic. I think every relationship should also be a friendship. Mm-hmm. That is romantic, but that is, yeah. But not necessarily, not like, I don't need to be stuck to that person.
Right. Well, I want $1 billion. We don't always get what we want. Let's see.
Wow. Maybe this says more about you.
You're capable of having it, of course. Let's see. You should look for love, an Aries Taurus cusp, a Taurus Gemini cusp, a Gemini 2, a Cancer 3, a Leo 2, a Virgo Libra cusp, a Libra 3, a Scorpio 2, a Sagittarius 2, a Capricorn 2, a Capricorn Aquarius cusp, an Aquarius 1, or a Pisces 1. Those are the best.
What ones aren't in there?
Hey, there's 52 weeks in a year, I think.
Okay, that's true. It's by the week, yeah.
Yeah, so those are all the most compatible for love for you.
Interesting.
And it makes me laugh that none of the love ones are in the marriage section.
That is quite interesting.
Yeah. They think that's a very different endeavor to get married to someone.
Yeah.
Right. This is great. I think you're going to find love. This is what I wish for you. I wish for you to find a romantic connection in the next 12 months. This is my wish for you.
That's a timeline.
Yes.
I'll take it. I do see quite a lot of attractive people in Glasgow, I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And just open that little heart and see what flies in.
Okay, maybe we should do a follow-up a year from now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will be married to a Leo.
Yeah.
And you will be in a codependent relationship with an Aries Taurus cusp.
That word is so upsetting to me. Okay. What's yours?
What's mine? What are my top ones? I feel like these things won't make sense to anybody who's not reading the book.
Well, hey, why don't you see? I guess it would be the same for my weight to be in your friendship one.
Maybe. Sometimes it's not.
Oh, that's
what were you again?
Aquarius 3?
Oh, yeah, you're there. You're in my friendship group. Okay. Looking
that's
at
nice.
There you go. That's nice. Good for us. Yeah, no, there's a lot of different options. I actually read all the marriage options and love options, and I wasn't sure that I was happy with what those relationships were about. But, you know, you're never going to be perfectly happy in any union. No,
yeah.
No relationship is going to check all the boxes.
Yeah, and also, it's just a book.
Yes, we must remember it's just a book.
We must remember. It is interesting. Like, you didn't like the little blurb for each, but maybe it's telling you what you need and not what you want.
That is a big thing. And that is a big thing that my mother says to me. And I think that's a big thing about marriage, too, is sometimes what you want isn't the same thing as what you need.
Yeah.
I think that's been my biggest problem in dating, is I am very preoccupied with the wants. And I'm not focused enough on the needs.
So yeah.
It's important to figure out yourself and be like, I'm a person, like for me, like I said, that codependence thing. I know I need someone who's emotionally nurturing and patient. Or as my therapist said, I need someone who has grit. Because I'm sometimes a tough person to love. And I have a lot of, you know, mood swings and issues. And I need someone who's got some grit. If I'm with a guy who is so independent that he doesn't want to be leaned on ever, it's not going to last. I need some grit.
Yeah, I wonder if codependent in the context we're talking about just means emotionally, like, attuned to each other.
The goal is interdependent. You don't want codependent, but you want interdependence.
Well, don't tell me I'm going to have a codependent relationship in 12 months then.
I'm having fun. I'm a comedian. I'm supposed to.
You're joking around.
Yeah. I'm roasting you.
Oh, roasted. So this has been one hell of a little combo.
It's been a journey, and I think we both learned a lot from it.
Yeah, and it's also nice to just talk to you. I feel like we haven't had a real conversation maybe ever.
No, we haven't, and this has been really lovely, and I think it's great that you are pursuing your dreams, and you're not just being engulfed by this whole COVID thing. You're off at a different part of the world. You're in a foreign land. You're making friends. You're trying new things. You're studying. You're doing things. You're not on hold. And that's great. And I'm happy you're doing this podcast. That's awesome.
So I have a question for you that Molly Risa, who you also taught, what is your favorite soup?
Did she know this question was for me?
No.
That's funny. My favorite soup. Oh, that's a hard one. Oh my God. I used to love mushroom soup. I like tomato soup. Oh, you know what? I'm going to say mushroom soup. A cream of mushroom soup. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's very good. I don't eat it anymore because I'm vegan, but it's good.
It is good.
Already. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me.
Anyone
wants to see anything involving my career, you can follow me on Instagram at LindsoMullo. That's LindsoMullo.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, as always, to Sappho for providing the absolutely scintillating theme music you're hearing right now. You can listen to her album Time Machine on Spotify by searching Sappho Time Machine or clicking the link in the episode description.